Bibles, please, to the book of Genesis, chapter 27. 27th chapter of Genesis in your Schofield Bible, page 41. Beginning with verse 34, we'll read through verse 38. We'll read the verses responsively. While you're finding that, this announcement, with the parents of Cody Weeks, please come to the Toddler 1 nursery immediately. Parents of Cody Weeks, the Toddler 1 nursery. The text verse for this evening's message is that 38th verse. And shall we stand, please, all of us standing, for the reading of the Word of God. And when Esau heard the words of his father, he cried with a great and exceeding bitter cry, and said unto his father, Bless me, even me also, O my father. And he said, Thy brother came with subtlety, and hath taken away thy blessing. And he said, Is not he rightly named Jacob? For he hath supplanted me these two times. He took away my birthright, and behold, now he hath taken away my blessing. And he said, Hast thou not reserved a blessing for me? And Isaac answered and said unto Esau, Behold, I have made him thy lord, and all his brethren have I given to him for servants, and with corn and wine have I sustained him. And what shall I do now unto thee, my son? And let's read the text first together. And Esau said unto his father, Hast thou but one blessing, my father? Bless me, even me also, O my father. And Esau lifted up his voice and wept. And let's pray. And Father, we're fortunate indeed to be in this place tonight. We're thankful for our church. Certainly nowhere else in the world we'd rather be. We're thankful that you've given us a church family, the freedom together. We pray that you'd help us tonight to get from the message what we should. Of course, we need to listen. Help us not only to listen with our ears, but to listen with our hearts. Bless, we pray with power, our preacher, in Jesus' name. Amen.
I got worried about him while he was going up to that last note. As long as he's singing tenor, I didn't worry. When he got soprano, it bothered me just a little bit. But he did pretty good. Started to crack on the end and made it sound like his own purpose. He said, Amen. And I got you figured out, boy. I got you figured out. Oh, man. We used to have a singer down in Texas. Forgot words easily. All I do is start crying. Everybody said, Oh, isn't that sweet? Claire. And so I've forgotten what I'm going to preach on. And I want to read tonight one verse to you. You don't need to turn to it. And I'll review just before I do the story. You remember the story how that Jacob had sold or bought the birthright of Esau, his twin brother, for a bowl of soup. And in so doing, he received what Esau should have received, three things. The birthright meant that you were in the lineage of the Messiah. Esau sold his right to be the carrier of the blood of the coming Messiah. Second thing he sold was the right to have the priestly rights for the family. The third thing he sold was a double portion of the father's inheritance, all for a bowl of soup. And then a couple of chapters later, when his father was blind and they thought was dying, they came to him for his dying blessing, and Jacob deceived his father and disguised himself a little bit as far as his feeling was concerned and put the hair of an animal on him. And his father reached out and touched him, and he's realizing that Esau was the hairy one of the two. He said he was Esau. And he gave to Jacob the blessing that was rightly Esau's. Now, after Esau had lost his birthright and lost the blessing of his father, and more than by blessing, I don't mean his favor. I mean actually it entailed some inheritance. And I won't go into that. But it said after it's over, Esau said unto his father, Hast thou but one blessing, my father? Even me also, O my father. And Esau lifted up his voice and wept. Let me paraphrase what he was saying. Hast thou only one first blessing? Is there only one blessing that's the first one? Or let me put it this way. Is the number one blessing all that you have? Is that all that you have, Father, is the number one blessing? Isn't there a blessing for me also? Don't you have an equal blessing for me? I want to speak on that subject. Hast thou but one blessing? Let me get this microphone out of here. Hast thou but one blessing? I want to say this before I pray. 90% of the people in this room are in the category I'm going to preach about tonight. Very few people in this room have never wandered a bit. Very few people in this room have never wasted years. Very few people in this room have stayed in the will of God, not only stayed in the will of God, but been actively pursuing the will of God all of your life. Not many people, maybe 10% of the people in this room. So tonight I'm talking to that other 90%, and I will also speak a few words to that 10%. Our Heavenly Father, I pray tonight that you do something real in this service. I want reality to always be here. I want reality to grip this preacher and reality to grip these people as we preach the message that God, I think, has led this preacher to bring tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. So you've messed up your life. So someone else has messed up your life. Visibly, it wasn't your fault. So you must rear your children alone. So you're too ill or too handicapped to do what you wanted to do or what you want to do. So your plans have gone awry. Your hopes have vanished. Your dreams are shattered. I want to talk to you tonight. Yes, Esau, you have forfeited the right to be the priest of the family. Listen to me now. Everybody listen to me. You have forfeited the right to be the priest of the family. You have forfeited your right for the double portion of the inheritance that due to the firstborn. You have forfeited your right, which is the most important of all, to carry the seed that someday will bring forth the Messiah, the Savior of the world. You forfeited that right, Esau. You see, that's what I want for every young person here, is for you not to forfeit that right. That's what it's all about. It's all about you getting the number one blessing you can get for your life. That's what we long for every young person in this room. That's the purpose of Hammond Baptist Grade School, for you to get the number one blessing of your life. That's the purpose of Hammond Baptist Junior High School. That's the purpose of Hammond Baptist High School. That's the purpose of Hiles Anderson College, for you to be able to say someday, I did not waste any years. I have no bridges I'd like to burn, no nights I'd like to relive, no memories I wish I could forget. We want you to be the best that you can be for God. That's what it's all about. That's what the youth program is all about. We want for you the number one blessing. That's what the school camp is all about. That's what the junior camp this week is all about, and the high school camp last week was all about. That's the purpose of the Baptist Boys Battalion and the Young Ladies Clubs at the grade school and the junior high school. That's what it's all about. That's what it's all about, the singing groups and the youth groups and my preaching and the Young Fundamentalists and all the rest of it. Let me say this. If any young people in the entire world have a chance never to have to settle for the second best, it's the young people of First Baptist Church of Hammond, Indiana. There is no place in this world that is easier for a young person to have first best than it is at First Baptist Church of Hammond, Indiana. And I'm going to say this. Woe be to you young people. Just woe be to you young people who go to Hammond Baptist schools and go to First Baptist Church of Hammond, and recipients of all the youth program we have here, and recipients of all of the little leagues and all the rest of it, woe be to you if you waste your life. Your punishment from God will be twofold what it would have been if you'd never seen the First Baptist Church of Hammond, Indiana. God said to Chorazin, woe unto thee, Chorazin, woe unto thee, Bethsaida, woe unto thee, Tyre, woe unto thee, Sidon. It'll be more tolerable for the queers of Sodom and Gomorrah in the day of judgment than it'll be for you. Because the queers of Sodom and Gomorrah never saw the Savior. The queers of Sodom and Gomorrah never saw 5,000 people fed with a few loaves and fishes. The queers of Sodom and Gomorrah never saw a man walk on the waters of the Sea of Galilee. The queers of Sodom and Gomorrah never saw the empty grave of Lazarus, who was raised from the dead. They never heard the voice of Jesus. And yet these places where Jesus went and preached, but my Bible said it'll be more tolerable for the queers of Sodom and Gomorrah. And I want to say this. You listen carefully to this statement, because this is a hunk of a statement. You teenagers and you children that don't turn out right, I want to tell you, it'll be more tolerable for the Woodstock crowd than for you when you stand before God Almighty. It'll be more tolerable for the kids across the street that go to the Catholic Church over there and have the heresy of Mass and the heresy of confessing their sins to a man. More tolerable for them than for you who come to First Baptist Church. Sit here sometime. Listen sometime. Don't listen sometime. Enroll in our fourth grade, K-4, and all the way through grade school and junior high school and college and all the things we give. I'm telling you, woe be to you if you don't turn out right and become the best you could be for God. But wait. Wait. Wait, Esau. Don't go away. There are other blessings. You've lost the birthright. You've lost the blessing of your father, your blind father. You've lost the chance to be the priest for the family. You've lost the chance to carry the seed of the Messiah. You've lost the chance for the double blessing of the inheritance, double portion of the inheritance. Don't go away, Esau. Don't go away. For you see, Esau, there are other blessings also. You cannot be in the lineage of Christ, priest of the family, or receive a double portion, but you still can be used of God. Let me say tonight, those of you that have not been and never received the first blessing of God, I mean the best that you could do in your life and be in your life, don't go away. The second blessing of the Lord is better than the best the devil has to offer. John Mark, you can't be the great missionary you could have been if you hadn't turned back from Pamphylia. John Mark, you can't be the great preacher you could have been if you had not gotten scared or homesick and gone back home to Mama and left Paul and Barnabas. You, John Mark, you cannot be that. But don't go away, John Mark. Don't go away just because you didn't get the first blessing. There's a second blessing. You can still be a helper to the Apostle Paul. You can still have your name on one of the books of the New Testament, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Don't go away. And don't go away, dear Christian friend, because you've wasted some years. Don't go away. God's second best is better than the devil's first best. David, you can't be the great king that you once were. The throne has been tainted. The crown has been soiled. The scepter has been lowered. You cannot be the king that you could have been, David. Please have a seat back in the back. Please, do not walk around the back. Have a seat. Ushers, help me back there. No walking around back in the back. Everybody find a seat. I'm saying, you cannot be King David what you could have been had there been no Bathsheba, had there been no Uriah. You've lost your chance for the number one blessing. But don't go away, David. There's some psalms you can write. There's still something you can do. There's Psalm 51, the penitent psalm that needs to be written. There are the great praise psalms, 146, 47, 48, 49, 150, where you're praising God for His goodness. Wait, David. Wait, David. Don't go away. There's still something you can do. You missed the first blessing, but don't go away. There's still the second. Don't go away, Naomi. You can't be the great Christian you could have been if you'd have stayed in Bethlehem of Judah. You can't be the great Christian you could have been if you'd have stayed in the will of God, not gone down to Moab for 10 miserable years of backsliding. But don't go away. You didn't get the first blessing. Ask the Lord. Is there not another blessing? Oh, yes, Naomi, you can still be used of God to bring that little Moabitess gal named Ruth back to Boaz and bless the entire world. Ladies and gentlemen, because you wasted a year, don't waste another year. because you wasted years, don't waste other years. Esau said, is there but one blessing? I've got good news, Esau. There are more than one blessing. There are many blessings that God wants to give you. Don't go away, Jacob. You can't relive those 20 years away from the will of God. You can't relive those 20 years outside the blessing of God. But don't go away, Jacob. You can still be a prince of God. You can still kneel at Jabbok and have your sins forgiven. You can still get right with your brother Esau. You can still become a prince with God and have your name changed to Israel and a nation named after you. I'm saying, Jacob, don't go away because you wasted 20 years. Second blessing of God is still offered to you. Jonah, you can't be what you could have been. Bless God, you can still preach a pretty good meeting. You forfeited number one blessing, but that number two is pretty good. City of 600,000 adults, probably, or maybe a million people, all of them got saved. Mayor got saved, city councilman got saved, school board got saved, everybody got saved in town. I'm simply saying, Jonah, hey, Jonah, down there in the belly of the whale, hey, don't go away, Jonah, come on back. You can't have the first blessing, but God has another. Don't go away, Barnabas. You blew it when you left the Apostle Paul, refused to go on the second missionary journey, because you were defending your nephew, John Mark. But don't go away, Barnabas. You missed that first blessing. But you can still take John Mark and be used of God to some extent. Don't go away, Rahab. You've wasted your years by selling your body to the hands of lustful men. You're a prostitute. You're a harlot. But don't go away. There's still a blessing that God can give you. God can help you protect the spies. And God can give you a great faith that'll put you in Hebrews chapter 11. Don't go away. I'm saying tonight, have you wasted your years? You got some things you wish you could forget. You got some bridges you'd like to burn. Okay. You can't relive it. But I got news for you. There are other blessings other than that which is first. Don't go away, Bathsheba. You will forever be stained and tainted, but you can still be a great mother. Don't go away, Bathsheba. You'll never be what you could have been. I want to tell you something. You young couples sitting out here in these cars, necking and petting like animals, you're forfeiting something pretty important. You lustful young men, pardon the word men, you lustful young punks that would dare touch the body of a young lady and steal from her that which is precious and go into the Holy of Holies and take that which is precious, most precious, to a young lady. God, pity your wicked soul, but I've got some good news for you. God still can. You'll never be what you could have been, but bless God, you can be what you can be used of God. Second blessing, if you please. Don't go away, Israel. You turned your back at Kadesh Barnea. You'll never have the first opportunity, but you can go back in 40 years and possess the land. Don't go away, Mary Magdalene. You'll never again be an innocent, blushing virgin, but God can use you to see the resurrected Christ, and God can use you to serve Christ. I want to say, ladies and gentlemen, if you've wasted years, it's time you quit. You've wandered far away from God. Now you're coming home. The paths of sin too long you've trod. Now you're coming home. I don't care how far in sin you've gone, how much of God's blessings you've wasted. If you're alive and breathing, God still can use you and has something for you to do. The venom of divorce has poisoned your marriage and taken away your number one blessing, but don't go away. The second blessing is still available. The atmosphere of the ghetto has polluted your future and taken away the number one blessing. But don't go away. Don't go away. God can still use you, and that second blessing is still wonderful, you can be used of God. The fumes of illegitimacy have suffocated your plans and dreams. You find an unwanted baby in your arms. Your number one blessing is fled, but don't go away. God can still use you to some capacity. The dagger of doubt has killed the hopes germinated by the seeds of faith. And you have turned your back from your number one blessing. But don't go away. God still has something for you that you can do. The stagnation of inactivity has polluted the waters of your dreams. You have wasted your number one blessing.
But don't go away. Listen. Thank God for that 10% of the people in this room tonight who've never tasted alcohol, who've never rustled an unholy skirt, who've never put a cigarette in their lips, who've never said a dirty curse word, who've never left the will of God for their lives. Thank God for them. And that's what this church is all about. But I've got news tonight. If hopes are gone, your dreams are shattered, there's a God in heaven that still wants to use you. Dear Lord, take up the tangled strands that we have wrought in vain, that by the skill of thy dear hands, some beauty may remain. Suddenly your future is murdered. Perhaps it was homicide. Perhaps it was suicide. It doesn't matter. But the number one blessing is dead. Don't go away. God can still use you. If you can no longer preach to hundreds, teach hundreds, or preach to hundreds, teach a dozen. If you can no longer be a preacher, be an usher. If you no longer be a leader, help a leader. If you cannot be a great leader, follow a great leader. If you cannot be a Mary of Nazareth, be a Mary of Bethany. If you can't be a Mary of Bethany, be a Mary Magdalene. If you cannot be a John the Apostle, be a John the Baptist. If you can't be a John the Baptist, be a John Mark. But God can use you. I'm saying you can't undo the past, so forget it and say, by the grace of God, I am going to correct myself, and from now on, I'm going to serve my God. You cannot be a Deborah. You can be a little maid pointing Naaman to the man of God. If you cannot be a chancel organ, be an accordion. If you can't be an accordion, be a harmonica. If you can't be a harmonica, be a tuning fork. But God wants to use you. God wants to come tonight. These little young people in the front row, and these teenagers here, and these children. And God wants you to be clean and pure all of your lives. And God wants you never to touch anything that's unholy. And God wants you to seek His will. And God wants you to go to the Christian school. And God wants you never to go out into sin. And God wants you never to waste a day of your life. And that's what it's all about. And I challenge every young person here to walk to the altar with your lips still pure as well as your body still pure. And have your first kiss to a member of the opposite sex at the altar. But if you've wasted your years and it spoils your virginity, your purity, and your chastity, I've got news for you. There's a God in heaven that'll still use you. You can't be the rock which Moses smote in Horeb. Be a stone in David's sling. If you can't feed the 5,000, then provide the loaves and fishes from which the 5,000 can be fed. You can't be a Mediterranean. Be a Galilee. If you can't be a Galilee, be a pool of Siloam. If you can't be a pool of Siloam, be a cup of cold water given in Jesus' name. But God can still use you. If you can't be an aged Caleb saying, "Give me that mountain. I've always served God. I'm up in years, 40 years. I've always served God. I want that mountain." If you forfeited your right to be a Caleb, then be an old Barzillai with the age of 80, bring some victuals to David while David was in his darkest hour. You can't be the steed on which Jesus shall ride when He comes again. Be the donkey that warned Balaam about his sin. You cannot be the sun that stood still or the moon that rules the night. Be the star that pointed the wise men to Jesus. You can't be a book, be a page. If you can't be a page, be a paragraph. If you can't be a paragraph, be a sentence. If you can't be a sentence, be a word. If it can't be a word, be a letter. If it can't be a letter, be a comma. But be something for God. If you've got a long life left, serve God with it. If you've wasted all your life, serve God from here on out. You cannot be a royal robe on that covers the body of the king. You can be some cast outs and rotten rags that lifted Jeremiah out of prison. If you can't give him a life, give him years. If you can't give him years, give him months. If you can't give him months, give him weeks. If you can't give him weeks, give him days. You can't give him days, give him hours. If you can't give him hours, give him minutes. If you can't give him minutes, give him seconds. If you've got 50 years to live, live them for Jesus. If you've got 50 seconds to live, live it for Jesus. Esau sees his brother take his birthright and take his blessing. Esau will never stand before the family as their pastor or priest. Esau will never sit at the will of his father and receive the double portion of his father's wealth. Esau will never have his name listed in the genealogy of Jesus. And as people read the book of Matthew and the book of Luke, they'll never read the name of Esau. He's forfeited that. But Esau, don't go somewhere and sit down and lament the rest of your life and say, there's nothing I can do for God. No, you can't get that first blessing, but there are other blessings that God wants to give you. If you cannot be Joseph of Arimathea who gave his sepulcher, you can be the widow who gave her two mites. You may not can be Goliath's spear, then be Shamgar's ox goad. If you can't be Shamgar's ox goad, be David's slingshot. If you can't be Noah's ark, be one of the broken pieces of the boat that Paul was on that brought a few to land. If you can't be an Apostle Peter who preached on Pentecost, be the Andrew that won Peter to Jesus Christ. If you can't make the first team, be a substitute. If you can't be a Samson, be a Mephibosheth. If you can't be an apostle, be a Zacchaeus. Look what David did after he sinned with Bathsheba and Uriah. David will never get that number one blessing. He'll never get it. But you read those Psalms that David wrote, you'll never read anything quite as beautiful as the 146th Psalm through the 150th Psalm. As the old David realizes his sinful life and realizes how God had forgiven him, and David lifts up his hands and says, praise the Lord! And he said, let everybody praise the Lord. Let everything that have breath praise the Lord. Let men praise the Lord. Let tigers praise the Lord. They're breathing. Let elephants praise the Lord. Let cockroaches praise the Lord. Let cats praise the Lord. Let mice praise the Lord. Let this mosquitoes praise the Lord. Let everything that hath breath praise God, he said. If you cannot tell people how to keep their lives clean and pure because you wasted some of yours, then you spend your life warning other people not to go where you went. There's something you can do. Look at Jonah. After Jonah forfeited the number one blessing. Never will be what he could have been, but bless God, goes to Nineveh. As I said a while ago, the whole city turns to God. Look at Peter. Peter forfeited his right. Number one blessing. At the hour where Jesus was needing the most, Peter cursed. They said, aren't you one of his? Peter said, no, I'm not. Well, aren't you one of those Christians? Peter said, no, I'm not. Well, look, aren't you one of the church members? And Peter cursed and swore and said, no, I'm not. And you lost it, Peter. But look at him on the back end of that pickup truck in the corner of Ackard Street and Commerce Street in Jerusalem preaching. 3,000 people got saved. I'm saying, ladies and gentlemen, I've said it before, most of the Bible was written by murderers. Moses wrote the Pentateuch. He was a murderer. The Apostle Paul wrote much of the New Testament. He was a murderer. David wrote most of the Psalms. He was a murderer. I'm not suggesting you go out and murder anybody. But I am suggesting if you do, let me tell you who to murder. But if you've done it, I said, if you've done it, though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they can be as should be as wool. If God can use a David who was a murderer, and God could use a David who was an old adulterer, if God could use a David of Bathsheba and Uriah fame, God can use you. If God can use Moses, who slew a man, had a bitterness in his heart, and spent 40 years on the backside of a desert being punished because of it, God can use you. If God can use an apostle Peter, who cursed and swore and denied the Lord, denied the faith, denied the Savior, God can use you. I'm saying, ladies and gentlemen, let go and let God have His way. Your burden will vanish. Your night turn today. God can use you.
Look what happened to Jacob after he had spent 20 years outside the will of God. Became a prince of God. His name shall forever be associated with the name of God's chosen people. Look at Mary Magdalene. Life wasted, ruined, lost the first blessing. Please don't misunderstand me. I'm not advocating anybody become a Mary Magdalene. I've given my minister two things. Number one, prevent our young ladies from becoming Mary Magdalenes. Two, salvaging those that do anyway. I've said before, once a week, they come by our house and pick up our newspapers, a little blue box they've given us out in Munster. They're recycling those newspapers. They recycle aluminum cans, recycle paper, recycle most anything. They recycle dung. Even dung is used for fertilizer. Well, bless God, if dung can be used, recycle, don't you think God can recycle one of His children? You sit in the house, you don't know what I've done. I don't care what you've done. If you're still breathing, God's got a purpose for your breath. Don't you have another one, another blessing? Don't you have another blessing? You blessed Jacob. Don't you have another one? Yes, Esau. There's another one. Thomas lost his first blessing when he doubted the Lord. But Thomas took what he had left and gave his life as a martyr on the mission fields of India, a great missionary. Think what Demas could have done. But here's what we do. Well, I've blown it. You've only blown it up to now. You have not blown your future. You have not blown your chance of doing something for God. It's an old story, but I love to tell it because it had such an impact on my life. I was down south preaching. The building had two sections here. Not near this big as these two sections. A wall right here and a wall right there. And I guess it must have seated 500 people, 250 a section. I walked in that night and I saw one of the finest dressed men I've ever seen walk up down the aisle. He walked up to me, motioned for me, and walked up to me. And I said, "Sir, may I help you, please?" And that good looking, looked like he was a president of the local bank. Well-to-do man. Had on a diamond ring, diamond stud on his tie. He looked at me and he said, I said, "Sir, I didn't quite understand it." I said, "Sir, I don't understand." The pastor came over and said, "Here's what he's telling you. He's telling you that God called him to preach years ago. He tells every man that comes here to preach the same thing he just told you. God called him to preach years ago. He answered the call of God, then backed out. Decided to make money instead. And he did make money. But God smote him with a disease. And that disease has taken away his right to articulate. He can't speak plainly. Dr. Howes, what he's telling you is, don't ever turn back. Don't ever turn back." You say, "What are you trying to say?" I'm trying to say God's still using that fella. He'll never pastor a church, but he can warn other pastors. He'll never preach a sermon, but he can warn other preachers. Think about that. I'm saying God can use anybody. That story about that retarded fellow down in Texas was a spastic. Talked like this. You could understand him, but he talked like this. And he was a little bit absent upstairs. One night, the president of the local bank came to our auditorium was tiny. Seated about 150 people, had folding chairs, concrete floor, and the ceiling was simply two-bys. Looked back, and there sat back over here, the president of the bank in Garland. Looked just exactly like all bank presidents supposed to look. Heavy set, pot-bellied. Come to think of it, Keith, you look an awful lot like a bank president. A big heavy-set fella sat back there, well-dressed, scared everybody to death because everybody there owed him money, including our church, including the pastor of the church. We're scared. Invitation time came. We had a nut, screwball. He was sitting in the tender section of the car. Nothing personal about that, though he did remind me an awful lot of, but anyway. This screwball leaves the choir, goes back here, and back in the back toward that bank president. And I thought, oh my soul, he's not going to witness to him. Surely he's not. He stops and puts his arm around that big old bank president and says, hey, you want to go to heaven? He said, no. He said, go to hell then. When he said that, that bank president began to tremble like that. Fell on his knees, got saved, walked the aisle, professed his faith in Christ Jesus. I'm saying God can use anybody, even a tenor. Imagine what Esau could have done. Imagine what Diotrephes could have done. Imagine what Cain could have done. God gave Cain a second chance. He said, a sin offering lies at the door. He's crouching right now. Ready to jump up in your arms. Take that sin offering, go kill it and shed the blood, and you can be saved like your brother Abel. Think what could have happened to Cain. Think what could have happened to Lot. If Lot had gotten right with God when the fire fell on Sodom instead of going down there committing incest with his daughters. Think what could have happened to King Saul. King Saul, when he realized it had gotten too big for his own britches, had gone on a diet as far as his own concept of his size is concerned. And gotten right with God, think what God could have done with King Saul. Did you ever think what God could have done with Absalom? Absalom, a man so charming, he swayed an entire nation to rebel against King David. Absalom, a man who had such charisma that he talked a nation, enough people in that nation to declare war against his own father and to cause an insurrection that perhaps he could have won had he not have died. Can you imagine what Absalom could have done for God if he had simply said, I didn't get the number one blessing, but I'll get the number two. Ladies and gentlemen, I want to talk to you tonight just in closing. I want every single young person in this house to keep your skirts clean. I want you young ladies to walk to the altar as pure as the whitest snow. I want you to walk to the altar virgin, clean, and pure. But you say, preacher, you can't do that anymore. That's the devil's dirty lie. Yes, you can. I said, yes, you can. You walk down the aisle, and the pastor says, who gives this woman in marriage? And your father says, I do. You walk up and take the arm of the man of your life. You look at him and say, I've saved myself for you. I've got the first blessing. But if it's too late, don't leave. Don't leave. This room is full of second blessing people. This room is full of people teaching Sunday school classes who could have pastored churches. This room is full of ladies who are soul winners who could have been pastors' wives. I sat in the office of the night. Sandy Taylor wanted advice on how to write a book about her life. Walked the streets of this area, prostitute for years. Stuck a little note on my door yesterday, said I just finished the New Testament. Starting on the old now. I want to tell you tonight, you listen to me carefully. It's a disgrace for a Sandy Taylor to bring more folks down the aisle than a lady been in this church 25, 30 years. It's a disgrace. It's a disgrace. But thank God he can use her. She doesn't know all the lingo. She didn't know how to walk at Hammond Baptist High School. And she can't get the first blessing. But praise God, there's still a blessing left for her. And so tonight, if you're here, young men, I want you to walk the aisle as clean as you were when you were born. I want when you put your lips against... You're telling me about the wedding you had. But did you tell me somebody else? Bible Claire told me. Wedding you had. Two of our young people. Your son. And never had kissed a girl. That shocked the fire out of me. Boy, that beats the record. But anyway. He married one of our college girls up in Michigan. Brother Beauclair was telling me. They never kissed. So she kissed him. They kissed. He pulled back and she grabbed him and said, "Woo!" What'd she say? "Well, mmm." She grabbed him and said, "Mmm." Pulled him back and kissed him again. That was better than the first. She said it again. "Mmm." Pulled him back and kissed him again. You say, "Brother House, are you trying to tell me that in 1996 a young man can grow up in America and be clean and pure at the altar?" No, I'm not trying to tell you, Buster. I'm telling you. You can walk that aisle without ever having touched the young lady's lips against yours. You can walk that aisle pure, and you can put your arm out and say to her, "This arm is safe for you. It hadn't rubbed up against every old gal in the senior class. I'm clean, I'm pure, I'm decent, and that's what God deserves from you." But if you've blown it, don't leave. There's still another blessing. And God can still use you. Thank God we serve a God that can save you from sin or pull you out of sin. And when God saves you from sin or pulls you out of sin, God can still use you. Don't go away, Esau. David, don't go away. There's still some psalms to write. Peter, you forfeited number one blessing, but don't go away. There's a Pentecostal sermon to preach. Jonah, you wasted some time down there in the belly of the fish, but don't go away. There's still a Nineveh that needs to hear the message of God. Mary Magdalene, you soiled your skirts and stained your virtue, but don't go away. There's still a Savior you can love and serve. Rahab, you've wrecked your life, selling your body to the hands of lustful men, but don't go away. There's still another blessing. Moses, you took your hands and killed a man. You paid for it for 40 years, but don't go away. There's still a nation to lead. There's still battles to win. Don't go away. Don't go away. I challenge those of you that have never tasted sin, never gone to what you call deep sin. I challenge you to get that number one blessing. That number one blessing. I challenge you again never to let liquor touch your lips. You live and you die with a still wondering what dope would have felt like. You live and die still wondering what kind of a feeling a cigarette gives you. You live and die with your skirts as pure and as clean as they were the day you were born. And then you walk down the aisle and give yourself to the one that God has chosen for you. And then you sort of explore together. Like, let's try that again. Let's try it again. And just keep on trying it. Ain't nothing like kissing. You say, how do you know? I practice it. At your age? Yep. Brother Eddie the other day asked me, he said, you still enjoy smooching at your age? I said, yeah. He said, that's encouraging. How old are you? How old? I promise you got 32 years more of fun. But if tonight the soup has already been sold and your Father has already pronounced the blessing and the door is shut on you to ever be the Messiah and the lineage of the Messiah, and if you forever will wonder what you would have done with the double portion of your Father's inheritance, and if you never stand before the family as the pastoral priest, don't go away. There are still things that God can use you to do. So give your life to Him. Wherever you are, give it to Him. From this moment forward, let God have His way in your life. Shall we stand, please?